Trivita presents Healthy You, inspiration and information to keep you moving towards wellness so you can achieve your life's purpose. Now, here's your host, Michael Ellison.
Well, welcome to Healthy You. I'm sure like many of us, when we are reading the news, watching the news, we're getting social media feeds. We hear a lot about various opinions. Some of it is misinformation. Some of it's good information. But it also includes horrific pictures like what we saw in New York where they were loading bodies into refrigerator cars after death because the morgues was full. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in our world today. People not sure about their income, isolated at home. But I have good news today because I have a very special guest that we are going to be sharing information that will help you deal with the way that you interact with your world and how that you can have good, strong mental health in this time period and strong emotional health as well. I'm honored and I'm thrilled to again have Dr. Olivia Reams as my special guest today. She's a postdoctoral researcher at the University of Cambridge in England, where she focuses on anxiety and depression, and she is with the Department of Public Health and Primary Care at the University of Cambridge. Dr. Reams, it's so thrilling to have you with us here today.
Michael, thank you so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure to be on your podcast.
Well, I know that you also have your weekly radio show, and you deal with focusing on mental health and lifestyle matters. So today is going to be a great day for you to share out of your research and the knowledge that you have through the years of research that you've done. Before we get into your five ways to beat anxiety and take back control, I'd like to just ask you a couple questions in regard to the research there in the UK. I'm sure you're aware of the pandemic and all that's going on in the U.S. Certainly, it's something we have never experienced before, uncharted water in so many different ways. But how is it there in the in England and UK with the pandemic effects?
It's been pretty bad. People are really worried about what is going on, and especially not knowing what will happen and the health, you know, the health implications of all of this. People losing their jobs. I mean, papers have come out saying that anxiety and depression are at an all-time high right now. Before this pandemic started happening, there were one in six people in the UK were affected by anxiety or depression. And now with this stress on top of us, everything is so much worse. And there was an article that came out in the Times here in the UK saying that the emotional and mental health implications are probably going to be some of the biggest we've had to deal with yet, much bigger than anything else. So it's a grim situation, and people are struggling to cope.
Yes, I happen to even note this morning that British Air just furloughed 32,000 of their employees. If that's a condition there, then obviously there's many different areas of people's lives that are being impacted. When we talk about, you know, mental health, I know that there's much research that you have done in regard to implications of that that goes into physical health. Can you just kind of take us a little bit more into that aspect of it? That, okay, so if we are anxious and we continually feed into it and where it becomes a mental disorder, okay, what's the physical impact of that?
There are definite physical health impacts. If you have anxiety or depression or any other mental health condition, this can impact you on so many levels. It raises the level of inflammation in the body. So basically our bodies become more inflamed. There is much more stress going on, so the levels of cortisol are raised. Also, our immune system isn't able to fight off infection as well, so actually feeling really anxious, really stressed, really depressed makes it harder to fight coronavirus or any other illness for that matter. And right now, we're not just dealing with, you know, anxiety and depression, but also loneliness. Before this pandemic started happening, loneliness was called an epidemic. But now people are told to stay at home, to observe social distancing, and there are a lot of single people out there. And a lot of people on their own, at home, struggling to deal with this loneliness, which is a lot worse than before. So that's another thing that is of great concern right now. And when you're lonely, that also has health implications. It raises your inflammation level. It's actually a risk factor for early death. And it makes it harder for you to cope in situations, to be able to deal with stress and with challenges. So there are definite health implications when you have anxiety, depression, when you're lonely. But luckily, there are ways that you can, methods that you can use to get around that, to get your mental health back on track. And that is possible, you know, even in very grim situations like now.
Well, I noticed, and yes, thank you for sharing, because sometimes, you know, we think of it just as feelings that we have, you know, I feel emotional loneliness, or I feel emotionally down, or I feel just anxious. It really goes far beyond that, as you have just, framed for us to understand the seriousness of it, and we do have the positive side of it. But before we go into the five ways in which we can deal with it, one of the things that I was interested in doing some research related to the University of Cambridge, that back in April of 2018, you did a study, or the university did, on the sense of control and meaning that helps protect women from anxiety. And you quoted in that study that the study sheds light on inner strengths or qualities that we may have which can protect us from anxiety when exposed to hardships such as living in deprivation. And you said women believing that they were in control, or believing that their lives made sense, having purpose and meaning in life, had less anxiety even in deprivation. Well, I'd just like to frame that for a minute, because in our world today, it's really easy to get into this mindset of deprivation, or the lack of freedom, the lack of finances, the concern related to our health. So many different areas that we can all of a sudden, just mentally, in our perceptions, get ourselves into. We are deprived of so many things that we just, months ago, we're thinking life couldn't be better. So in that statement that you said about the meaning of life, can you give us some insight? Because I think purpose and the meaning of life is so important right now for people to grab hold of that to get them through the hard times.
Having meaning and purpose in life is so important. It helps us to overcome challenges. And our study has shown that if you have this meaning and purpose in life, then you can overcome challenges like anxiety. And other studies as well have shown that, you know, that there are strengths within yourself that you can harness to get over problems in life, to get over any difficulties. And that's the good news. That's what I really like about this. You don't have to turn to medication or to outside forces or circumstances to help you get through it. You can develop these things on your own, develop this sense of meaning and purpose on your own to help you get through life and become more resilient. And there are several ways that you can do this. One of the things is think about something that you would enjoy doing. You know, right now we have, some of us have more time on our hands, and You know, oftentimes you read online or when you go on social media sites, people saying that they're so bored. They don't know what to do with their time. But think of something that you would enjoy doing, something new maybe that you haven't tried before. Is there a new hobby that you'd like to start up? Or maybe an online self-improvement course or an online cooking course, anything really, just something new that you want to give it a try. And get involved in that. Try that for a little bit and be consistent with it. You know, whatever you get involved in, it's important to have a goal in life. And even if you work on it for half an hour each day, as long as you're consistent, it's important. Because when you see that you're making progress on this, that's when you kind of start to develop this self-satisfaction that you're getting things done. You start to feel good about yourself. And when you start to feel good about yourself, it kind of feels a little bit like life has more meaning, like you're getting somewhere in life, like you're developing that purpose.
Yep.
And right now, there are so many people that are volunteering and dedicating their time to helping others in this situation. There are a lot of online communities designed to help others, even if it's just providing emotional support to somebody else that is going through a tough time. And volunteering has been shown to be really, it helps our mental health. You know, when you give your time to somebody else, then that's when you start to see that your actions make a difference. It gives your life purpose and meaning. So is there maybe an online group that you can get involved in to help others, to give them some online support? So that's one of the ways, volunteering, you know, and making regular progress on a task each day. These things can help you develop that meaning and purpose. So the way that all of this research came about, it's really interesting. Researchers, you know, traditionally, we've been looking at in medicine and in psychiatry, doctors have always been looking at, well, what are the factors that can make us sick? If you look at newspaper headlines, so many times you read about, you know, don't eat that because it causes cancer. Don't do this because it leads to heart disease or cholesterol. Everything is negative. It's like, you know, this downward spiral. And researchers noticed that while there are things that we have to do to avoid, you know, so that we don't get sick, there are also things that we can do to enhance our well-being. So not always focusing on disease, decline, and death, but what makes us healthy, what makes us mentally healthy and become resilient in life. And they saw that, you know, there are things that we can do, like developing this sense of meaning and purpose, that can help us get to that stage, that can put us on track for mental health and resilience.
Yeah, that's great, Dr. Reams. In regard to research that you have done and the five waves to beat anxiety and take back control of your life during this COVID-19, one of the things that it noted is it's based on science. So is there any more that you can offer related to the science approach? Because right now what you're saying is if we focus on the positive and not always on the, you know, the negative of trying to avoid or just manage disease, but becoming resilient. Can you talk to us just a little bit more in regard to the scientific base for that?
Yes, of course. So everything that I've said is and has been based on science. And that is the interesting part, because the way that all of this science came about, it started from early studies that took place a few decades ago. They saw that, researchers saw that some people exposed to the worst circumstances, people that had been through wars, through natural disasters, some of them went on a downward spiral. They developed conditions like post-traumatic stress disorder and depression, while other people exposed to the exact same hard circumstances retained their mental health. So they wanted to know, what is the difference between these two groups of people? And they saw that this difference lay in how they coped, how they were able to handle things in life. And through research, we saw that we can harness these things, these strengths, as researchers later called them. We can develop and harness these strengths to promote our mental health. And, you know, and the same thing goes for this pandemic. There are some people that will inevitably feel overburdened and overwhelmed by what is going on. They will succumb to the stress and anxiety and go downhill. But others will retain their mental health. You know, there are always those people that no matter what they're going through, they just seem like they can go on through life with this calm, determined mindset. And again, the difference between these people, the ones who manage to get through things and the ones that sink, is how they deal with stress, how they take on life challenges. And, you know, and if you're one of the people that is struggling, well, the good news is that you can develop resilience. You can develop strengths within you to become like that first group of people, like the people that are able to overcome obstacles in life and retain their mental health.
Yeah, it's very good. I know in my own life, and I've been very fortunate in my life, but not always has it been easy. What I have found is during the really tough times and the hard times, it is when I focus on why am I really here on earth? What do I feel like is my purpose? And what do I feel like God's purpose for my life would be? And when that became the focus, instead of the circumstances, it always seemed like that there was new energy and new creativity, and there was a resilience that occurred when that focus, you know, happened in my life during those tough times. So I appreciate the research and the science, you know, side of the way you are presenting that. You know, with our listeners today, I'd like to take them into your five ways that they also can help themselves in our world. I mean, you can't totally avoid what's going on in our world, that's for sure. We're not isolated to the point where we're, you know, we don't know what's happening around our world. But if you just stay focused on the circumstances and stay focused on the number of deaths and the number of people that are being tested positive and, you know, the dire part of it, then that will lead us definitely into that mental disorder of anxiety and fear and all the other, you know, negative emotions. So one way that you said in your article and research was stay away from the news. I'm sure that there's more you can say about that to help us understand how do you stay away when you feel like you're addicted to the news that you got to see what's going on all the time.
My grandma is addicted to the news. She's reading about coronavirus all the time, and she is so stressed out. And whenever I talk to her on the phone, all she tells me about is coronavirus news. So, you know, it's very easy to get swept up in that. And I would say that, you know, because this situation is, it's just started. I mean, yes, it's been going on for some time, but we're still in the beginning stages of it. The easiest way to kind of deal with this is to nip bad habits in the bud. So if you continue checking the news constantly, then you'll be developing a habit for doing that. I mean, the way that, you know, social media is so addictive and people are always going back to their Facebook or their social media pages to check the latest updates. That is happening right now with the news and coronavirus. The more that you read about the news, the more they want to know. So it's important to set limits for yourself. Say, you know, I'm going to check it for half an hour in the morning or half an hour at lunch, and then do something else for the rest of the day. This is really important.
Yep.
And also, I would say that it is necessary to not check the news right before you go to bed. The news is distressing and it stresses us out. And we don't need that when we're going to bed. We need to have peace of mind, read a good book, take a bath, do something calming. But do not check the news, the numbers on the latest deaths right before you go to bed, because it'll make it really hard to fall asleep. So I would say that. And, you know, now if you get into the habit of limiting the time that you spend checking the news, you're creating a new habit for yourself. And it will be much easier to stick to this now than to let yourself do whatever you want, check the news as often as you want, and then a month from now, if you decide that you want to stop doing this and to form a new habit, it'll be that much harder because so much more time will have elapsed. So nip bad habits in the bud.
Yeah, very, very good in regard to it. So it's not just turning the news off. It's creating a disciplined way of approaching the information and not allowing ourselves to be habitually and chemically, because one of the things that happens is every thought creates an emotion, an emotion creates an energy creates a chemical that's going to every cell in our body. So then the thoughts, if they are stress or anxiety or fear, et cetera, then we're sending all those stress hormones to, you know, every cell, weakening our immune system, weakening, okay, our cells and resisting, let's just say, dis-ease. And also it inflames. So what you're telling us is create the great habits, and one of them is have a way in which you can periodically do the news, but don't do it before you need that restful sleep.
Absolutely. And there was something that I wanted to mention earlier on in the episode. You said that you found prayer really helpful. And it's the same thing for me. Sorry, I'm just going back to, you know, when you were talking about praying. So I would just encourage anybody out there, you know, there are times when you feel overwhelmed and you just don't know what else to do. In those times, I find prayer really effective. Just, you know, praying to a higher power, praying to God that we can get through this. And it can just calm you and ground you. You know, at a time when we can't turn to another human being for, or it's harder to turn to other human beings for help, we turn to that higher power. I find that very calming, and it gives me renewed energy, and it makes me feel protected.
Dr. Reams, thank you for sharing that. It's not often that we get that kind of inspirational message from the academic world, so I'm very grateful. So let's talk about distracting yourself. That's another step. So the first one was, okay, we're going to discipline ourselves in the way we're going to approach news. Okay, this distracting ourselves, go into some of that in regard to methods. And I know you've talked about it a little bit already, but let's come back and do, okay, we got step one, now step two, distract ourselves. So in between these times when we see the news, what else can we do?
All right. So in relation to distracting yourself, I would say that many times you get worries on your mind, worries such as, am I going to get sick? Is my family going to get sick? Or any other worries for that matter. And an instinct that often comes to us is to try to suppress the worries, thinking, okay, I don't want to have that on my mind. I'm going to try to squish that thought, to banish that thought. But that never works, because anytime we try to suppress a thought, it comes back to haunt us with a vengeance. I mean, anytime you try to get rid of a thought, it never works. What is a lot more effective, and this is all based on research, is distracting yourself. Try to do or focus on something else. This gives your mind a new objective, a new focus. So, for example, you know, we're inside all the time now. Is there a new, you know, a room that you could start cleaning? Or is there a task at work that you could focus a little bit on? Or even just taking a shower or watching a silly video, anything. Whenever you have worries, uncontrollable worries coming over you, don't try to suppress them. Instead, change focus. And this is really effective. And a small experiment that you can try right now to see what I mean is to show you why trying to suppress thoughts doesn't work. So, for example, try to not think. So close your eyes and try to not think of an elephant. Now, the question is, did it work? Well, of course it didn't, because in order to not think about something, you have to conjure up an image of that thing in the first place. So it's the same with anything. You know, every time you tell yourself, I don't want to think about that, then that thing appears and sticks to your mind. So focus on something else.
Yeah, very good. One of the things that I've done during this time period is say, okay, for one of my distractions, I always work out, but I made a goal in the first part of March is that I'm going to be more disciplined. I am going to achieve greater results in my workouts. And so that's my distraction right now. I am physically in the gym, and I'm fortunate because I have a home gym, but that is a great distraction for me and lets my mind focus on how I breathe, the deep breathing, the way that I would do an exercise, more focused than ever. And it's been a really great satisfaction for me. In fact, last week as a golfer, I finally shot below my age, and that was a goal that I'd had for many years, and I finally accomplished that last week.
Oh, that's fantastic. Absolutely. You know, indoor exercising, I think it's, and there are so many online videos that people can follow along now. So, it's something that I want to start doing as well, because I've just been working lately, just working, and I'm not moving. And then the other day I thought, okay, you know what? I need to get going. I need to, even if I'm inside, to start moving a bit, because otherwise it's just going to become harder and harder to move.
Yes, it's the move it. I totally agree with that. You know, one of the things you're talking about is focus and, this distracting. So your third step was choose what we focus on, and we've kind of slipped into that. But in the article that I was reading of your article on these steps, it happened to make note of that there are 450 Ivy League courses you can take online right now for free. That is amazing. So yeah. I went there, and I looked at it. Do you have any insight or information you'd like to share in regard to that 450 Ivy League courses?
You know, I was looking at the list, and there were a few that I thought were interesting. I think there was one which caught my eye, something along the lines of the art of negotiation and influence, just an important life skill to have. I'm always interested in life skills like that, and in ways that you can improve yourself. But I've been really busy with my work project, so I haven't had time to take any of these courses. But I would like to, because I think it would just provide a nice balance to the day and just a nice distraction to everything else, because my work is focusing pretty much just on coronavirus and mental health right now. And while that is really interesting, it is nice to also have that time when I am not thinking about coronavirus, when I'm thinking about something else and thinking about myself, what I would like to do. And that's really important, because during times like these, it's important to be kind to yourself. That is key. So many times when we go through our day-to-day lives, we think a lot about other people. When we have a job, we're working for a boss, and then you come home, you're doing stuff for your family, and we hardly ever have time for ourselves. And when we don't think about ourselves, that's when our self-worth starts going down and we don't feel so good anymore, mentally or physically. So it's important to be kind to yourself. When you're kind to yourself, your self-compassion grows and your mental health improves as well.
Okay, that's a great line right there. Your self-compassion grows and your mental health will improve. We all need that, and especially in this time, of the pandemic around the world. All right, so then the fourth step, or the fourth way that we can take control of our lives and we can beat this anxiety, is stay connected. So we hear about, stay at home. We hear about, isolate yourself. But in that, we still have to stay connected. Talk to us about that.
Exactly. So staying connected is really important. And this is especially important so that we don't succumb to loneliness and, all of the negative consequences associated with loneliness. So there is FaceTime, there's Skype, there are ways that we can stay connected to others online. I was going through this page, this web page for other people that, you know, I mean, each city here has basically a coronavirus mutual aid page. And I was looking to see what people were doing to help each other. And somebody was saying that even though there is this advice to connect with others online, seeing the other person online was actually making them feel worse because of this special circumstance with coronavirus and not being able to see people in real life, just knowing that we're doing this artificially because we can't actually be with that person in real life, this artificially imposed measure. So it wasn't actually helping them. And what people found really effective was so not just connecting with others online, but doing something together while you're online. For example, having dinner together or sharing a cup of coffee together. And this morning I was on BBC Radio Cambridgeshire talking about how to cope with anxiety and stress during the time of the pandemic. And the presenter said that his sister and her friends agreed to all dress up and to all cook the same meal and start eating at the same time. But to him, it seemed like it was more of a hassle than anything else. And what I can say to that is it doesn't have to be, like, you don't have to go all out. You don't have to make it into a big deal. Last night, me and my friend decided to eat at the same time. He had already had dinner. So he's like, yeah, I'll just take out some yogurt. I had my pasta that was ready. And, you know, just eat whatever you have and do that at the same time or have a cup of tea at the same time. It makes it a lot more fun and more real than just being like, okay, let's get together on Skype and chat. It gives you an activity to do, and it's much more fun.
And the same thing goes for exercise. You can do the online ones as far as an exercise as well. So there's many different ways of staying connected. Number five, as we come to the close of our podcast, and so have enjoyed this time with you, number five is remember, thoughts are mental events that will pass. This is so important for us that this too will pass from us. What we don't want is we don't want that this too will pass from us and we have poor health as a result of it. So that's what we're talking about today is taking on this very tough, challenging time, but having a good mental attitude and the disciplines and the way that you can do that. So comment in regard to number five, thoughts are mental events that will pass.
Yes. A few years ago, I went to a talk by a Buddhist monk who came to the University of Cambridge. He gave a talk. And this is what he said, that our thoughts are mental events. So many times we think that our thoughts will become reality and we get freaked out by them. They're the source of our anxiety and depression. And that's because we take them as something that will come true. We don't see them as just mental events that pass like clouds in the sky do. And just in line with that, there was an experiment that was conducted with people who had anxiety, and they were asked to write down their worries and then to come back at a later time to see if their worries came true. Over 95% of the time when these people returned to their worries, because they logged everything down, they saw that what they initially were anxious about, it didn't come true. So it's important to remember that our thoughts are just that, thoughts. They're mental events that will pass just like many others have. And if you're struggling with your thoughts, with unwanted thoughts, something that you can turn to is mindfulness meditation. There are lots of online videos. There are apps like Headspace or Stop, Breathe, and Think that can teach you how to slow down a little bit and just get a break from your thoughts. I like to say that, you know, when we feel in the middle, like we're in the middle of stress and chaos and we just want a break from it all, that we can turn to that oasis of peace found in mindfulness meditation. So find an app or a video on YouTube, for example, and just follow along for a few minutes, because it can really make a difference and it can really calm you.
While you were talking about that, I love the sun. That's why I'm in Arizona. I came here to enjoy the sun. But there are days in which there are clouds, and the clouds block out the sun. What I've come to learn and to enjoy is the clouds will pass and the sun is still shining, even the clouds are there, and I know that the sun is going to be there. I think sometimes that when we bring, you know, the circumstances of thoughts, it can be like clouds, but really there's life and the source of life. And I like to present it in the way that God is. God is everywhere. God is in everything. It's all the creation. And if you just learn to look around, okay, and behind my home, we have a hill, and this hill to some would be like a mountain, but there's a saguaro cactus forest behind there. I look at that, and I just like, it's so amazing. I have a saguaro cactus that's 450 years old. It reminds me that all around me that God is. And when we can approach it that way and we can go through that, then those mental, you know, thoughts, fears, anxious, no, they will pass and we can have the life that we all truly want to experience if we'll stay focused on the positive. Dr. Reams, thank you for sharing these thoughts with us. It's been a great time. I know that our listeners of Healthy You found it very beneficial and appreciate you. Any last comments that you would like to make?
Just like to say that I also really enjoyed being on this podcast with you, Michael. And what you said at the end, you know, was just beautiful. And I just had this vivid image in my head of the sun and the cactuses and what you said about faith. And I completely agree. I mean, it's the same for me. Whenever I find that it's too much, I just turn to prayer and everything just seems to be better. No matter what you're struggling with, God always finds a way and it's like your problems get a little bit lighter. So, Michael, thank you also. And as always, a joy to speak to you.
Thank you, Dr. Reams. What a pleasure. And again, for those of you who are struggling, you don't need to struggle any longer. You need to just begin to practice the good information you've been shared with. Thank you, and may all of you experience greater wellness.
Thanks for listening to Healthy You. This is provided for your information only and may not be construed as medical advice or instruction. These statements are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. It is intended for your general knowledge only and not a substitute for professional medical advice or treatment for any specific medical conditions. Always seek the advice of your physician with any question you may have regarding a medical condition.